courts the definition of marriage, would it be so simple, any such definition? For they throw stones at you in the tort definition of marriage. It hurts to be unkind, they say, and cast a stone. Or someone had a man take a slug at her on an emotional national holiday because she was a known lover of women who had a wife, and it was a man's holiday, a memorial day for dead warriors who were mostly, especially, in the two wars men. Or maybe she, the woman slugged, was a wife. This is a two wives tale. It was unseemly to see two women kissing, two women embrace under the primrose tree, two women in a Lautrec brothel holding the tide together against the slings of men, caressing against the tide of pimps and other men. Some get murderous in Oregon to see the women two shopping together, as might a man and wife, doing man and wife things, living as do a man and wife in an ordinary man and wife apartment, except at night in the deep dark of night, they said, they who were murderous and dark. What do they do at night while we are doing our man and wife things? What do they do in the dark of night? What do they do? And next I'm going to read from the Manatee Humanity Project, and this was probably 3 years in the making. Kind of a hermetic project. It began with an encounter with a wounded female manatee in an aquarium in Florida at a time when the manatee was being taken off the endangered species list under Jeb Bush. And I felt this sort of aspiration to include manatee, and manatee would stand in for all the endangered non-human elementals. And so the poem became a sort of narrative hybrid meditation on our humanity, on our evolution, on other species as well. The wolf has a walk-on, as do other creatures. And just recently, there's a complication in our quest for lineage. Just today I was reading about the cave shaft near Johannesburg where 1.95 million year old, possibly new, pre-human Australopithecus sediba was found. So that keeps adding to the interesting history of where, how we've evolved. It uses a Buddhist ritual as a sort of structure, which is a three-day ritual called the Kala Chakra, the Wheel of Time. So it's a meditation on time as well. And in this meditation, you have a central deity, and I took the manatee as the central deity for the poem. And when you are involved with this ritual, you also keep track of your dreams. So there's a section in here of a kind of dream encounter with figure that sort of morphs into many things. So I will begin. Also, the word manatee comes from Manitou, Caribbean word, Taino people, meaning breast. And also, often drunken sailors would see the manatee come up with seaweed over its head. And I think they were mermaids. And they are mermaids. They're of the order of Sirenian. So there are a couple of little things in the beginning here to get into the text. This is a variant of a Sir Patrick Spens ballad. Out and starts the mermaiden with a fan into her hand. Keep up your hearts, my merry men, for you're near the dry land. Out and spake Earl Patrick Graham with a salt tear in his ee. Now sin we've seen the mermaiden, dry land we'll never see. And the notion also of this consciousness, our stream of consciousness, having a kind of continuity, and similar to the sense of the radio, we're not the same, although their receivers work the same way. In this view, there is no such thing as a universal mind in which our minds participate, but rather myriad unique individual pathways, innumerable possibilities. And one of the poet Jack Spicer's metaphors for the poet is the radio, and the poet is always on. And then what is the mind of manatee was a question for the poem. and there seemed wonderfully cognizant and primordial in this manatee spirit I encountered, albeit at a less speedy frequency. And I remember William Burroughs sensing, maybe riffing on something Jack Kerouac had said, that so many animals seem to be in samadhi. He thought this of his cats, and he often said that he would prefer the company of lemurs to that of humans. And so another view, that Buddhist view, is that all life forms are interrelated through their evolutionary history, and that animal and human minds are both participants in reality. We share the planet with many non-human temporalities. Minds exist at the quantum level, below the level of atoms and subatomic particles. As is said, minds never come from nothing or go to nothing. Why did my brain incubate all those long years? Why was it not using its genius to make fire? And why not art, the making of which would stir neurons further, and touching the texture of stone, shaping hand to stone, putting marks upon it further? And why not? Why to further beauty in the making of art? And why in sound too, not making music all these long years? Sounds imitate what must have been the call of birds or of the body, an internal hum and chatter and growl and chit and woo 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 woo, parts of the body convening together as alluvial, as sound together alluvial, alluvial in strange harmony or discord, or in hunger, need, desire, fighting in all the discords of desire and wooing too, signal distress, signal delight, signal the stark moon you see and eclipsing of it, signal distress, signal delight, signal redress, mistress redress, and holy moon, and cry when the moon disappears, then it will return and you can celebrate by dancing. Why did not my brain dance all those long years? Would this not be in the frame of that incubation? Old wan stone of a regular edge cuts another stone crudely. Stone of a regular edge cuts broodingly. Old woman, hold the blunt instrument to soothe thee. Or actually in more gracile hammer flakes off stone, rue thee, and vocal in the cry of hunt. Kill, kill, what? Kill thee? Primate, surprise. Chieftain, so named by Linnaeus. Survival mechanism, self-recognizing, prosimian, mirror, neuron. She stood up, shrill, hurried conversation, expressing sorrow. Oh, snared swan, once in the mirror, backlit by sun, beauty, me, a snared swan. I excite you, gesticulate, modern, heterosexist presumption, not to place by candlelight. You are beauty, you, moving up the ladder of this spine. And a fragmented me, do mirrors have eyes, with bestial affection for you, of kin, but no matter. Of purpose shatter. Would a shepherdess be an eclogue splendor if she could but be those cranial valleys and stars? Both by kin of this action, left hand lifts, kind palm open, hands free for greater locomotion, out on open savanna, slope of beckoning, now swing, turn, grab a kindred object, how you feel, attraction, hold, offer a mandible heart. Cross-dressed body puts on syncretic pelt and moves, stabs at promise, tongues, words, stand up, looking eye to eye, my grip around your legs, footprints at Laetoli, three australopithecines crossed a carpet of fresh volcanic ash, walking much as we do in two-legged gait, hip and leg gone much the same way, toward human form in place of what in apes suits them for swinging through trees, scamper on all fours across a line that leads to man. They had decided to walk to the ferry boat now. The map of the lakes lay on the table. She picked up the book close by, setting the map aside, and as she approached it now more closely, now looking at it, she was happy to see, and she did this quickly, lifted as she was by the title, the photographs within, words, a superimposition of a she-wolf's face, It was a book by a friend, the name of a friend clearly on it, whose writing she admired. It was lateral writing, a kind of meditation on the detritus and refuse and vast sweep of time's ravage upon many great cities, diasporas of visible and invisible migrations, subsequent incursions that make their curious, desperate mark on the faces of cities. A photo of the friend stares out squarely, defiant, she might say, knowing him, but perhaps not, more certain of the credibility of line and mark and point, of puncture and fury. He was one to walk a lot and comment upon the certainty of seething and disploding peoples, a people pulled to the maelstrom of survival, of them pushing and pulling, tugging at this, what you say, string, a lifeline, and back streets, places by water, melancholy, survival deals that dealt a raw hand. He had traveled to the undersides of them indefatigably and lived in the interstices, watching those cities below her imagination. What he had seen. What he had seen below the imagination. He had seen odd delineations of fear and seething and disploding, juxtaposed with mad delight of martyrdom, how implodes everywhere, the ethos by any necessary means. He meant they were crowded like rats or like the circumpolar head people living under the sea, ghosts consisting only of a head, ghosts waiting to be buried off the killing fields of Srebrenica. Darker districts outside Paris where the trouble they complain of arrives from. She thought of semaphores, and he was trying to tell her something with his signals, with his codes and flags, and where they might measure, distress, could measure, help them now, signal, distress, distress. It was words, words only now. The ferry close by, within walking from their temporary shelter. He was of the words-only school, then turning words to movies, those moving pictures impersonating shadows, a moving picture school, and movies, movies only. For you can tell in light, he would say, words, and he liked them dark, transgressive even. And what are you wishing on? I mean working, working on, he asked, chewing on the mammal. It was like an hallucination. First, the objects strewn about where they had arrived from, a book, a map, quadrants discarded now, a sense of the shelter and the departing from it, map cast aside, they would try their luck. His caverns of cities, weight of them in him, in her mind now. They had sat with their lunch on another ferry, Lago di Como, animal bereft, lithic underpinnings. And the writing they both did took you to those other places, waves on the Bosphorus, Istanbul or Cambodia. They both wrote as if in the grip of a fever. Have you ever had the terrible dengue? Because of urgency, survival, to describe the known world of any reach or stretch of imagination, the relative world of death and change, with the machinations of capitalism grinding away, charged and mysterious, brute force and decimation, deracination. Was her time irreversible? How many objects put to the test, taken apart, deconstruct them into their essential nature, compassion? Name outliving the person who carries it, as with a book, name, identity, person. And have you heard, he asked, of the continent of detritus, 100,000 pounds of petroleum plastic, twice the size of your continent. He was not American-born, churning in a vortex. And the water animals, under the intense burden of that and of their naming, how else we know them? By their sound, by their cry, struggling in the serpent coils of plastic, marred, scarred. And she wondered what animals must be sacrificed to the colonization of time, to the colonization of cities. And she, I know him, I know my friend, by looking at him in my mirror of him. And then we rode then many miles, when riding was a way of thinking, investigating places, people, animals, some miles of them, tribes and all. And in sympathy, being magic ones, poet ones, because we could ride out in another century and bring the past along, wondering what animal traps the what of animal cages and the troops we saw them embark. Barking in the distance, what traps the troops and torture unseen, but you see it in the mind, most impossible, a subject which becomes a trapped factor of life. Mere trappings, razor wires, meant torching, meant lynching and summoning animals to the hunt, dressed in their skins with gestures and sounds from the vibrating larynx, sing of becoming them, being them.